to Psalms chapter number 51. And again, we want to welcome all of our visitors and just good to be in the Lord's house today. I really hate that Brother Dwight is not feeling well and not able to be here. I know if there's a service out of the year he'd want to be at, it would be the Lord's Supper. And so I really hate he's not able to be here. So let's pray for him that the Lord would touch him and he'd be able to get back real soon. Okay. Sorry. Technical difficulties. Psalms chapter 51, verses 1 through 10. Let's read those verses. The Bible says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Let's pray. Lord, it is good to be here today, and I thank you for the opportunity that we have to be in the house of the Lord today. Dear God, I pray and I ask, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, down deep in our hearts, and not just that we would hear a message or go through a religious form of some kind, but God, we would really pay attention to what the Word of God has to say and what the Lord's Supper means to us and how we should prepare our hearts. Lord, I pray you give liberty today. I pray for your help. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us as only you can. Change us, Lord, for the better, for thy honor and thy glory. Lord, as we think about having revival here at church, Lord, I pray that our hearts would be prepared, our minds, our souls. I pray, Lord, we'd see souls saved. I pray, Lord, we would, God, see an increase in our community, just in the things of God and in the interest in what is really important, spiritual matters, eternal life, salvation, the gospel. Lord, I pray you'd speak to our hearts and just bind Satan that he'd not be able to hinder today in any way whatsoever. We pray especially for Brother Dwight, Sister Betty, Lord, others that are sick. God, that you just touch and heal and help as only you can. Lord, have your way now. We'll thank you. We ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. Let's read verse number 10 one more time. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." I think it was Monday, well, I'm sure it was, I began to think about this passage of Scripture out of the life of David. And I didn't read the title there in Psalms chapter 51, but your Bible probably has it. It should. Above verse number 1, it says, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David. When Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone in to Bathsheba." And most people, most commentaries, most preachers I've heard has studied this passage of Scripture out says that this has been about a year after the affair that David had with Bathsheba. And if you figure it out in your mind, that's probably close to how long it was after he had gone into Bathsheba. That's what the Bible says here. It would have been after that. It would have been after Uriah was slain in battle. And you know, David orchestrated that. He sent a letter and he had Uriah put in the hottest part of the battle. And of course, that was Bathsheba's husband. And so David has innocent blood on his hands. It's after the news of the baby comes out. By this time, everybody would know what has gone on. David's had a year about of dealing with this. And it's after, the Bible says here, that Nathan, after Nathan had come in, or when Nathan the prophet came unto him, after he had gone in to Bathsheba. So after all this time, and this has been weighing on David's heart, it's been weighing on David's mind, after all this time, David has a desire for something in his life. He has a desire, and if you are a child of God, you'll not be able to live on in sin and that dark cloud of sin hanging over your head all the rest of the days of your life. David is a child of God, and David can't stand it anymore. Something's got to give. And what we find that David has a desire for, if there was a verse in Psalms chapter 51 that just summed up everything that was going on in David's heart and mind, I would say it's verse number 10. Here's what David desired more than anything: create in me a clean heart, O God. That's the gist of Psalms chapter number 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And I got to thinking about that this week. There's different kinds of cleaning. There's man's kind of cleaning. And I thought about several things along those lines. If I just bring them out to you this morning, just by way of introduction, there's my kind of cleaning, and I call that minimal cleaning. That's my kind of cleaning. Now, Kim, she's been out of town a few days. And while she's been out of town, I practiced minimal cleaning. And so if I had a cup of coffee, I washed my coffee cup. And I dried it, and I didn't add to nor take away from anything how she left it. So when she came back, it was how she left it. I didn't make a mess. I didn't leave a bunch of dishes on the counter. I always, every morning, I made my side of the bed. And I'm like that. I can sleep on one side of the bed. And years ago, I thought I'd be a help to her, and we got up one morning, I made up my side of the bed. I thought that'd be a blessing to her. She'd only have to make up half the bed. Well, she didn't think that was as helpful as I did. And so now we got a little joke going on through the past few years. She got up the other day, and I came through the bedroom. I noticed she had made her half of the bed. And so she'd left that for me to do. But I call that my philosophy on that is minimal cleaning. You know, I'm just going to do what needs to be done. Maybe a lot of us men could say amen right there. But then there's another type of cleaning I thought about. There's maintenance cleaning. Kim said sometimes, she says, I don't know why I even try. Because, you know, just as soon as she has one day of the week that is cleaning day. And on cleaning day is when she goes through the whole house from one end to the other. And you know, does things that you don't do every day, just to sort of the minimum things. But you know, she cleans the bathroom, cleans the showers, cleans everything in there. She cleans all the floors. She changes the beds and flips the mattresses over, and we're going to wear ours out just flipping it over. She does that all the time. And, you know, she works and might clean out the refrigerator, but just what I would call maintenance cleaning. And she said, I don't even know why I try. I said, can you imagine if you didn't try what a mess it'd be? I mean, She didn't clean the floor, and within probably that evening, somebody spilled something. And no other day of the week do we spill anything except the day that the floor is the cleanest. But you got to have that. And then you have something I call minute cleaning. Now, you might call it spring cleaning or fall cleaning, or just every once in a while you do all the other things that you don't do every week, and you'll clean the blinds, wash the windows, get the dirt off the fans in the house, and, you know, just pull out the refrigerator and see what's been living under there, and, you know, just clean things like that. That's minute cleaning, getting into every corner and getting all the cobwebs down and all those kinds of things. And some people are more nitpicky about it than others. They might carry it to further extremes or less extremes than that. But I got to thinking about this, of all the cleaning that man can accomplish, and no matter how far he goes, there's no kind of cleaning greater than God's kind of cleaning. And that's what I want to preach on today. I want to preach on God's kind of cleaning. God's kind of cleaning. Now, I want you to just notice with me some words in this chapter, and you might even want to underline them in your Bible. But as I was thinking about this, studying about this, I noticed in Psalms 51, there's God's kind of cleaning. We're going to start in verse number 2. Look what the Bible says. David said, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." I underline this in my Bible. David said, "Wash me." This is God's kind of cleaning that we're talking about. I begin to study about what washing was. Or washing, if you're from the mountains. Kim, she's been getting on to me about my speech and my the way I say things. And we was talking about that at school the other night, about how we in the mountains or in the south say things. And one of the fellas is talking about, he said something a certain way. You know, if you think preaching is easy, you ought to try it sometime. And you get carried along, say things, you know, and people, they'll make note of that. Doesn't matter what you preached on, but they'll pick out that you said something like a hillbilly. And I told them the other night, I said, "God called me to the hillbillies of North Carolina, and I have to communicate in a language that they'll understand." So you just need to all realize this morning, that's who we are. You know what I'm talking about. David said, "Wash me. Wash me, cleanse me." And I got studying about that. You know, there's over 20 definitions for what it means to wash. But I think we all understand what that means. And out of all that I studied about, it just basically involves two things. It involves water, and it involves a flowing over. No matter how you phrase it or what you're talking about, washing, it involves water, and that water flowing over or being on or running off of whatever it is. To wash the hands or body, to wash your clothes or garments, to wet, to fall on, as the rain washes the flowers or plants. You know, after it's rain and a good thunderstorm comes through, you know how that is, how everything just smells fresh and clean, and it's just different. What's happened? God has washed the earth around us and made it cleaner than it was. We all know what it means. Means to overflow as the tides wash the meadows, or as the waves wash the strand or shore. And David, he had a desire in his heart. He's been walking around for almost a year now, and he's got all this sinful weight upon him. And he said, "I got to do something different. Lord, wash me," is what he said. "Wash me." Look what it says in verse number 2. You ought to underline this. "Wash me thoroughly." Now, 9 out of 10 people will just convert that and say that says thoroughly. But your King James Bible, if you've got one, it should not say thoroughly. It should say throughly. There's a difference between, somebody say, there's no difference. It's the same thing. But I believe today that it's not the same thing. Man washes things thoroughly. God washes things thoroughly. There's a difference there. If you want to know what a thorough washing is, when I was a little boy, me and my brother, I mean, we were little boys. We played outside. We got so dirty when we played. We looked like little boys used to look. We got grass stained on our knees. We got so much dirt under our fingers that, you know, it was just there unless you took pains to get it out. Buddy, we played outside and climbed trees and run through the creek and slid in the grass and played in the barn and all of that stuff. And when we were little boys, we used to spend the night at my grandmother Greer's house. Now, she was a very thorough washer. She had put us in the bathtub, and I have an early remembrance of now. She had an oil-fired furnace and no regulator on how hot it made the water. And I really believe she could stick her hands. She washed her dishes in the hottest water that I've ever seen. She didn't use rubber gloves or anything, and she'd run that sink full of that hot water. I mean, you could have a good hot cup of coffee or tea out of what came out of the spigot. And so that hot water didn't bother her to stick her hands down in it. But me and my brother, we'd spend the night down there sometimes. We got real dirty. We was real little boys. And I remember she'd run a tub of water, that hot water, and she'd put us in that water. And we'd scream. We'd say, "Grandmother, that's too hot. It's too hot." She'd say, "That's not too hot." She'd make us, and you could just get in the water a toe at a time. It was so hot. You had to get used to it. And by the time we got out, we looked like lobsters. That hot water just, and she, I'm talking about being a little boy now. I remember this. She'd get in there, and she'd scrub between our toes with a washcloth. Get all that dirt. I mean, we got out there and we got dirty and we'd be in there and we'd come home to Mama and we'd say, "Mama, Grandma's about to kill us. The water's too hot. She's used to it. We're not." But she believed in thorough washing. Thoroughly. Everything on the outside, she got off of us. My Aunt Jauncey, that's Brother Gary's mother. I went over to her house. It's Mom's sister. Went over to their house one time. And I have a birthmark under my wristwatch. Some of you maybe you've never known that that was there, but I've got a what's about as big as a half a dollar on the back of my wrist. And we'd been over there, and I guess I was spending the night, and she's getting us cleaned up. And again, I was a little fella. I remember this. She got to trying to wash my birthmark off. And it's not as dark as it was once upon a time. And I kept telling her, I said, "Aunt Jauncey," I said, "that's my birthmark." I said, "That's always been there." She said, "That's not always been there. If you'd have had a birthmark like that, I would have remembered it." And she stood there and tried to wash my birthmark off. That's a thorough washing. Man has a thoroughness about him. But God has a through. He starts on the inside, where we're the dirtiest. And God uses the washing of the water by the Word. That's what it says in Ephesians chapter 5. It's talking about the church. Verse 26, it says that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. God uses His Word to wash us and to cleanse us. Thoroughly. Thoroughly. It gets through us. It gets in us. 2 Timothy 3 and 16 and 17 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." God works on the inside. And it comes out on the outside. The Word of God will get in where a man can't get in, where a doctor can't get in, where a pill cannot get in, where a counseling session cannot get in, where a conforming to some outward appearance cannot get into. God's Word can get in there. Wash us and cleanse us, Jesus said in John 17:17. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Psalms 119:9 said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Cleanse his way. How am I going to get cleaned up? He said, by taking heed thereto. According to thy words, you get in the Word of God, and you'll find it'll get down on the inside. Look what David said in verse number 6. He said, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. On the inside, God's concerned about your heart. God's concerned about what's going on down inside your heart, where no man, no woman sees on the inside. God knows all about it, and that's what he's concerned about. If he gets the inside how he wants it, the outside will follow along. You won't have to worry about it. We worry about all the outside all the time. Well, it ought to be this way and ought to be that way. But I'm telling you, and I'm not making an excuse, if anybody really desires God, how do you want me to do this? How do you want me to dress? Where do you want me to go? How should I talk? You get in the Word of God and you let God speak to your heart and it'll come out on the outside. But God starts on the inside. David knew he needed some cleansing in the inward parts. He had walked around in the darkness of sin too long. And he said, wash me and cleanse me. In verse number 2. But then look down to verse number 7. We're talking about God's kind of cleaning. He said this, and you ought to underline it. He said, purge me. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. To purge means to cleanse or purify by separating and carrying off whatever is impure. Whatever's not pure, impure, you carry it off, get rid of it. That's purging. Now, Brother Stephen and Brother Noah, they work up at the apartments where the college students, that's the majority of the people that live there, are college students. And every summer they have I think it's about 10 days, they call it the turn. And during the turn, the olds, the people that are moving out, they move out. And they've got 10 days there to do whatever needs to be done before the new students move in. They call it the turn. Well, it's a big thing, a big deal to them. And they were talking about the turn. Well, I got to calling it the purge. They was laughing about it. I said, the purge is coming up. And the reason I did that, I drove up through there one day and they was getting ready to have the purge or the turn, and all the parking lots had these great big dumpsters in them. And you know how it is when you're cleaning something out? You go through your stuff and you say, boy, I don't need that. Why have I got that? I don't need that anymore. And they's filling them dumpsters up with stuff they didn't need. They's purging. They's purging. That's what it means to get rid of, to carry off, to separate what's impure, what you don't need anymore. Sometimes we just need to look at our lives and we need to go to the Holy Ghost of God, and we need a good Holy Ghost house cleaning in our lives, and look around and say, you know what? There's a bunch of junk in here I just don't need in here anymore. That's what David was saying. He was saying, purge me, Lord. Get rid of this stuff. We got stuff in our lives. It's not being a benefit to us whatsoever. You can just read that stuff as we've got sin in our lives. We allow things like I was talking about, preaching about last week, all the filth and the defilement of the world. We just get used to it and we allow it in our lives whether we're participating or not, and it defiles us and it hinders us from praying, witnessing, fellowshipping, having the joy of God in our hearts. Maybe it's something we're doing. Maybe it's something we're talking about. Maybe it's something we're thinking about. Maybe it's something we desire. Maybe it's something that we have. We just need to have a purge in every once in a while. David said this now. He said, purge me with hyssop. That's what the Bible says. If you're a Bible reader, you know that hyssop. That's if you look back in Exodus chapter number 12, first place, hyssop is mentioned in the Bible is in association with the children of Israel. And the Passover is taking place. God is going to judge the land of Egypt. But he made a way of escape for the children of Israel. But they had to kill a lamb, and they had to put that lamb's blood in a bowl. And the Bible said that the Lord instructed them to take hyssop, and that was a shrub, a little bush out of the desert, all over the place. And to take that hyssop and get off some of it. And they were to dip it in that bowl of blood. And the Word of God said, strike it on the doorpost. Amen. Then they were to go in. And if they'd stay in all night, then when the Lord passed over the land of Egypt, if they were behind that blood, they'd come out in the morning. You know, we sing that song, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And David was saying to the Lord there, he was saying, I need to be painted with the blood. I need to be covered with the blood. I cannot get over this. I cannot get forgiveness. The Bible says that where there is no shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. David said, I need the blood of the Lamb to be applied. That's what he was asking for. I'm glad today there's still power in the blood. God said to the children of Israel in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, he said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You know, that crimson stain was the stain that could not be gotten out. But God said, I've got a way to get the stain out. God's got a cleansing agent. You know, every once in a while something will come along and people say, that's the best thing it ever was for getting stains out. You know what? It always works for everybody but me. Doesn't matter what it is. But I'll tell you, God's got a cleansing agent that can get the stain out. And it's the blood of the Lamb of God, not the blood of a little lamb that's come out of the flock, but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that He shed upon Calvary so that you and I could be saved and so that we could be cleansed. 1 John 1 and 7 says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's power in the blood. David knew that he was going to have the blood applied by the Lord. He said, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. That's a reference to the blood. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. There's a washing that God uses. There's a purging that the Lord has available. But look down in verse number 10. There's another word there. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew. Look at that word real close. What's that say? Renew. A right spirit within me. God is able to renew things. That word renew again, make it new again, that's what renew means. It means to rebuild, to repair, to revive. Revive means to bring to life again. David said, I'm dead, I'm torn down, I'm in a mess. God, I need to be renewed. Renew. You know, there used to be, and I guess there still is, but there was a furniture polish, and it was called Renew. And that's how they advertise it. You can get a coffee table, and you know, it can have scratches all over it and everything, and they'd advertise that, and they'd say, boy, you use this stuff, and spray it on, wipe it off, and it'll look like brand new. Fills in all the scratches, cleans off all the dust and all of those things. I got to thinking about that, and I looked it up, and that Renew, they said about it that it cleans, it protects, it conditions, it nourishes wood surfaces. It protects from UV damage and spills. And I got to thinking about that. If we could get renewed in the spirit of our mind, like the Bible said in Romans 12:2, it would protect us from the effects of this world, from the accidental spills, from the harshness that we're surrounded all around. We, many times, Christians, they walk around defeated and depressed and down. What's wrong with us? We need to get renewed. We need to get renewed in the spirit, in our spirit and in our minds. If we get transformed, that's what it says in Romans 12:2. He said this, look what it says. He said, renew a right spirit within me. Does your spirit ever get wrong? Does your attitude, does your outlook just ever get, you know, that's what sin will do to you. It'll get you in the place where you can't think right, you can't act right, you can't pray, you're in a terrible shape. That's how David was, and he said, Lord, renew a right spirit. You see, your spirit needs to be right in order for you to be able to commune with God. The Bible said in Romans 8:16, the spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's how God talks to you. He talks to you through your spirit. He doesn't speak to you through your flesh. You go out here and live like the world, you're not going to. You're going to say, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I hadn't heard anything from God, and I can't tell you how long. That's how David was. Lord, it's been about a year. I'm in a mess. He knew he was a child of God, but he needed that spirit to be renewed. Renew a right spirit within me. Verse number 11, look what he said. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Sometimes you get in the wrong spirit. We allow sin in our lives. We go on in that. We don't get right with God. And you get to thinking, I'm good for nothing but the junk pile. God can't use me. I haven't heard from Him. I can't pray. I can't worship. I don't get anything out of church. I'm just a castaway. David didn't want to be like that. He said, cast me not away. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me, Lord. I need to be renewed. That's what he said. Renew a right spirit within me. And then look at verse number 12. He said, restore unto me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. We're talking about God's kind of cleaning. He washes. He purges. He renews and he restores. Restore is an interesting word. It's a compound word. Re means again. And then there's a root word, store, which we get our word story from or history from. It's an interesting thing that David was praying for. He was praying, the word restore, it means to return what is lost or stolen. You say, boy, I messed up. I'll never get where I was. I used to walk with God. I used to read my Bible. I used to be able to pray. I used to be. And you get to thinking that there's never going to be a return, but God's able to restore. I drove by the car lot the other day, not into, but I was going down the road. There was an old Thunderbird out. They had parked outside. I looked at that. I was going through slow traffic. I looked over there. It's an old one. And that thing looked better than I bet it did when it rolled off the showroom floor. It had been restored, and on the outside, boy, that's a pretty car. It's about worth stopping and just looking at. It had been restored. Some of these restoration cars, they look better than they ever did before. But you know what? A lot of them's been drug out in an old barn somewhere. A lot of them's been parked in somebody's garage for 35, 40 years, and somebody came along and took an interest and had a vision in their mind, and they said, I just think I'll buy that. I'll put the money into it. I'll put the effort into it. I see something that nobody else sees, and I'll restore it, and I'll bring it back. Do you know God's interested in you getting restored? Restoring what's been lost or stolen from you. There's a verse in the book of Joel. God's talking to the children of Israel about all they've lost and the judgment of God upon them. But God made a promise to them. Joel 2:25. And the Lord said, and I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten. Sometimes sin goes on for years and years and years, and it's a terrible sight. God said, I can restore that. I can take that back. I can put that back. Oh, it might not be like it was before, but God can make things new again. God can restore in people's lives, to return to a former place, to bring back or recover from ruin to its former state. That's what restore means. I was reading over there this morning about the prodigal son. You all know about him in Luke chapter number 15. Man, he had made a mess out of his life. And he had lost all of his inheritance. And he had been down there in the foreign country. And had been living among the pig pen. But he had a father. And he said, I cannot live like this any longer. I'll just go home and see if my father will take me as a servant. And boy, Daddy had been looking every day, walking out there and looking across the field. And one day, here come his son. And he knew him. He knew his walk. He knew his form. He didn't look like he did when he left, but he said, that's him. And he ran out, the Bible said, to meet him. And the son came and he said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. He said, let me be a servant. What did that father say? He said, no. Bring the robe. Bring the ring. Put some shoes on this boy's feet. Bring the fatted calf. We're going to have a feast. My son, which was dead, he's alive again. And they came and they rejoiced and he was restored. I don't know that Father lost a thing through all that. That's our Heavenly Father. You say, oh, I've gone, I've wasted. Yes, maybe you have. Try coming home. It's good at home. I'm sure that boy woke up every day and said, I'm glad to be home. I remember waking up and I'm hungry and I'm naked and I don't have a friend in the world. And he began to wake up in his old bed, began to go down, have breakfast and fellowship with his old family. Said, I'm glad to come home. He got restored. God is able to restore what we have lost through sin or that has been stolen from us. David said, restore unto me. Look what it says. The joy of thy salvation. There's joy in being saved. He wanted that joy to be restored. Now, look at the result in verse number 13. It begins and it says this. God said, David said, Lord, if you do this, verse 13, then I'll do this. Look what he said. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. God, if you'll take me back, I'll teach. Souls will be converted. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. He had Uriah killed. That's what he's talking about. It had weighed upon him and weighed upon him. I believe that was the worst of it. Blood guiltiness. Did you read about that man in Vilas? He'd lived here for 17 years. 17 years he had lived with a dark side. I don't know who it was, where he lived or anything like that. I read about it in the Watauga Democrat. He had lived here. He used to live in Arizona. And one night, for some reason, something happened. He killed a woman and hit her body. For 17 years he'd lived with that, and he said, I couldn't live with it any longer. And he drove all the way to Arizona and went to the police department, and he confessed to that crime. They found out, sure enough, this happened. He knew all about it. He said, I couldn't live with it any longer. David said, I can't live with it any longer, God. If you'll get where you can't live with it any longer, God will do something for you. But if you're all right how you are, then that's how you're going to be. David said, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. I'll sing, I'll teach. God, I'll get in the choir, I'll teach Sunday school. Lord, if I can get back right, I'll do anything you want me to do. I believe that's what David was saying. I'll sing of thy righteousness. Verse 15, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. God, if you'll let me get right, I'll praise you. I'll praise you. I'll thank you. That's what David was saying. And then last of all, that's the result of God's kind of cleaning. But I want to show you, you say, but how do I get there? Just exactly how. There's the how in verse 16 and 17. Look what David said. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. If it took a lamb, I'd bring a lamb. If it took a flock, I'd bring a flock. But he said, God, that's not what you want. If you wanted a sacrifice, I'd give it. If thou desire, he said, thou delightest not in burnt offering. Then verse 17, you ought to underline, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. How do I get God's kind of cleaning in my life? Brokenheartedness. A contrite heart. A broken heart. I got studying about that contrite there. It means a heart that's collapsed. When's the last time you got brokenhearted over your sin? If we're talking about revival, if we're talking about having the Lord's Supper, we're talking about examining ourselves. What's it going to take to get right? Not more coming to church. What if we had longer services? I think some churches think they've not been spiritual if they've not been there till everybody's wore slap out. Drag on and on and on and on, and God's not moving and God's not working and there's nothing going on, but let's drag it out. We can't get anything else done until we get broken hearted. If we get brokenhearted, you'd find that things would move along quite nicely. But I'll be honest with you this morning. It's been a long time since I've been brokenhearted over myself. Other people's sin ought to break your heart. Go down here and walk down the streets of Boone. When's the last time you got brokenhearted over the path our nation is on? I'm telling you, there's been times in the past where I've wept and wept for our country. Buddy, it's going down, down, and the church has lost its power, and we've lost our compassion, and we sit and we're satisfied, we don't have a broken heart, we don't have no tears for sinners lost and dying and going to hell, we could care about nothing but ourselves, we are not brokenhearted. But David said, a broken heart, tears. I'm not making an emotional plea. I'm talking about getting down in our heart, brokenhearted over ourselves and our situation. Well, you just don't see that much. Do you see it much? Well, we had a good service. Praise the Lord. But when's the last time we was just brokenhearted? God, it is. We look at ourselves and we're not brokenhearted. That ought to break our heart. David said, a broken. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And what David wanted, he said, create in me, verse number 10, what he needed. Create in me a clean heart. As we come to partake of the Lord's Supper, what do you need in order to do that? Better have a clean heart. David said in Psalms 139, search me, O God, and know my ways, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Search me. Search me. I just want to be honest before God. I'm going to ask the ladies to come to the instruments.